Questions and Answers. Question. You mentioned that all world religions were essentially the same. Does that mean the differences don't matter at all? Answer. Of course important differences exist, based on how evolved the system is. However, sectarianism is very dangerous. Sectarian people are implying that God only gives his love through their particular group. Are we only eligible for God's love if we are Episcopalian, Sufi, Baha'i, Hindu, or a member of some other religious system? There are many ministers, teachers, and laypersons who would answer in the affirmative, believing that their teaching is the only valid one. This means that they believe God's love to be so limited that he can only express it in only one way. Yet we cannot serve the one God in a fragmented sectarian way. An analogy may help illustrate the reason for the existence of so many different religions. As parents trying to help our children, we may give them an instruction in one particular form. If they do not understand or if they do not apply our advice properly, we may give them the instruction again in a slightly different form because we care about them and want them to succeed. God acts in a similar fashion. He gives us the same instructions in a wide variety of ways to ensure that we will learn to do the right thing. If we humans can have many sons and daughters, then why should God, the supreme progenitor, have only one son? That doesn't make sense. In addition to Jesus, are not Muhammad and Buddha, as well as many others, also children of God? Actually, are we not all sons and daughters of the Lord? It is just that we are sons and daughters who have wandered off the path, whereas Jesus and other sons or daughters of God did not deviate at all. They tried to help those family members who went astray to come back into the fold. All bona fide spiritual emissaries teach the Lord's message according to their commission, meaning that each one has a special assignment to fulfill. They are helping to prepare souls to serve in various areas of God's kingdom. If sectarianism were so important, millions of souls would be arguing and fighting once they arrived in the Lord's abode, saying, "Hold on a minute, where's the place for the Seventh-day Adventists? I don't have time for anybody else." Or, "Where are the Sunni Muslims? They are the true children of God." Everyone would be aligned in opposing camps, ready to engage in battle. In such circumstances, when would anyone ever have a chance to glorify and serve the Lord? If Jesus appeared among us at this time in history, he could easily be crucified more quickly than before. He would certainly have a lot of money changers to chase out of our contemporary temples all over the planet. It might not take long for Christians of various denominations to form an alliance to silence such a disturbing personality. If the Prophet Muhammad returned today, he would simply weep at the violence in the world, which demonstrates profound ignorance and misunderstanding of his teachings. In the Vedic tradition, if any of the great rishis and swamis returned to see how we were doing, they would be deeply discouraged. Spiritual life is not about what label we give ourselves and others, how we pray or where we worship. Instead, it is about how genuine we are. Ultimately, it does not matter what vehicle we ride in. One person may like a Chevy, another may prefer a Mitsubishi or a Ford, and someone else may only feel comfortable in a Jaguar. The choice is up to us. The essential point is to get to our destination through a bona fide connection. If we have a problem aligning with someone's consciousness because of superficial differences, then we are not really interested in consciousness at all. And if we are not interested in consciousness, we are at an elementary level of evolution. Our collective state of consciousness is a crucial factor that will make the difference on this planet. The purpose of life has never been related to one's religion. Instead, it has always been concerned with one's level of spiritual development. The true struggle on this planet today is between those in a low, negative state of consciousness and those at a higher level. Question. You talk about the material world and the spiritual world. What is the relationship between the two? Answer. We can learn a great deal about the spiritual realm by examining the material world, which is a reflection of the genuine kingdom of God. even though this reflection is a perverted one. Most of us at one time or another have experienced uplifting associations with other people. Because these encounters were so wonderful, our thoughts became preoccupied with the person we were with, and we yearned to be in the individual's company again. Sometimes our daydreams were so blissful that they carried us through many dull, boring, or painful periods in our lives. In a similar way, when we encounter difficulties in material life, we can remind ourselves that our original constitutional position is in the spiritual kingdom, an abode of pure, unending love and devotion. Our awareness of the joys of spiritual realization can help us move through the temptations and difficulties that we have to experience at this present time. Even a single day, a single week, or a single year can seem endless when things are not going well. But from the vantage point of eternity, this lifetime is just a small distraction, a temporary blip. Once we are back in the spiritual kingdom, the countless years that we passed in lower realms of existence will merely seem like flickering moments of a nightmare. So, if we are suffering, experiencing difficulties far greater than we can bear, we can make eternal life our point of reference and almost laugh at our troubles. We can remind ourselves that at some point in our evolution, we will have a chance to become pure, so that all our present problems will vanish just as nightmares eventually do. It is as if we were in the spiritual world now, but have dozed off for a while. The whole experience of nodding off is what we are now undergoing in this material world, which seems filled with never-ending complications, miseries, and challenges. We can change our experience by turning away from relative material concerns and understanding more about transcendental love, which we can only appreciate as we deepen our knowledge of the soul. As we elevate our consciousness and become more transcendental, then all our current difficulties in the material world will fade into insignificance. Question: to what extent do our attitudes toward money influence our attitudes towards love? Answer: this is a nice question because it has a lot to do with contemporary society. People who are unwilling to give financially will not give in other ways either. Finances are just one aspect of a deeper problem. Those who refuse to share their money with their mates are most likely selfish in other aspects of their relationship. In a marriage, spouses should be generous with each other, considering everything as belonging to God and therefore to their partners as well. We have all heard the saying, money is the honey. But actually, apart from what it symbolizes, money itself has little to do with love, although it can be a source of frustration that interferes with one's expression of love. Divorce often occurs because of financial problems, and worries about money can cause tension in a family to the point that people cannot share their higher love. A husband and wife can focus so much on the mortgage, the insurance, or the car that they forget about love and service. Communication disintegrates because each person is distracted thinking, two more days, then I've got to make the car payment. A relationship is not deep if a couple can only function when everything is going well. The real tests come as difficulties arise, when both parties have the greatest need to receive love and to feel love. Some people will allow problems to drive them further apart. But those who are truly loving will bond together even more, trying to be more selfless and denying themselves for each other. A woman might choose not to get a new dress so that her husband can get a new pair of pants. A father might choose not to get a car because he wants his child to go to a special school. Such sacrifices, which are expressions of love, help foster strong, close relationships.